That doesn't mean I won't next week, but we'll have a Q&A session here fairly soon. But for tonight, I want to bring this thought to you. Colossians chapter 1. Let's look in verse 23. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. The Bible says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God." Verse 26. "Even the mystery which had been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Verse 28 says, "Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time tonight to be together. We do want to lift up in prayer tonight those family members that have lost loved ones today in the tragic events in London. We pray, Father, for those that are injured, Lord, those that lie in hospital right now. We ask you, Lord, to put your mighty hand, your healing hand, upon their bodies, Lord, and help them to recover and recover soon. Lord, I also pray in the midst of this tragedy, in the midst of this terrible, senseless act, that, Father, you would also send the Holy Spirit, the mighty Comforter, into the lives of those that have been injured and those that have lost loved ones and those family members, and comfort them at this time, Father, somehow, some way, that they may see this very hope of glory that we're going to speak on tonight. So, Lord, we do lift them up to you in prayer this evening. We ask you to bless our Bible study time together this evening. Bless it richly and wonderfully, and please honor our prayers to follow. In Christ's glorious name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Our verses of focus this evening, the points that we're going to pay attention to, I know I read verses 23 through 29, but we're going to really be looking at verses 27 and 28. But even so, primarily, verse 27 is where we want to focus. We want to see where Christ is. We want to see who Christ is. But we want to see Christ as the hope of glory, our hope of glory. And again, I'm not using a situation or an occurrence or an event that happened today to springboard, if you will, into a sermon. But I got to admit, I mean, even though the thought, even though the words were there, even though the message was already there prior to becoming privy to the events that happened in London, prior to that, my thought was this, and it's been kind of a revolving thought over the past weeks. You know, we've preached for years. I've been preaching over 20 years now. When I started preaching, one of the big things that was being preached in our circles was the rapture of the church. And man, we were, you know, it was in 1997, and just a couple years, it was going to be the end of the millennium. And people were saying, well, I tell you, the rapture is going to happen. The Lord's going to come back, and this is going to happen. And we see all of these things begin to kind of surface. All the digital age and the internet came in, you know, the World Wide Web came into play. And man, we're just seeing the handwriting of the birth of the Antichrist and his rise to power in our minds. And we're always preaching. And as a young preacher, we're saying, I believe the Lord could come back at any minute. And I still, at 45 years old tonight, believe the Lord Jesus Christ could come back right now. We believe in the intimacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his return is imminent, meaning he can come back at any given time. He can come back in 50 years if he chooses to, or he can come back in 50 seconds. That's the Lord's choice when he's going to come and take his bride out of here. But as you go throughout the years and you're preaching, man, you better win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You better be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You better get the gospel tracts out, share your testimony, try to win people to the Lord, win lost loved ones to the Lord, win your neighbors to the Lord, win your coworkers to the Lord, win your classmates to the Lord. You better do it, because Christ could come back at any moment. And all of that is true. But I believe the older you get as a Christian, especially as a preacher and a pastor, a missionary, evangelist, whomever it may be, you begin to see things a little bit differently. Yeah, I'm still looking for Christ to come back, and typically about every day I look up and think, could be today. I kid you not, I've been doing that for years. And I believe the Lord allows a little bit of stress to come into our life just to keep us from being too comfortable down here and look forward to the blessed hope of His return. Having said all that, the older a person gets, it's not so much anymore, let's witness today because Christ could come back. It's let's witness today because this may be my last opportunity to do it. I have one life to live on this earth. I have one life to live, and the people that I see on a daily basis, I have maybe one opportunity to testify unto them, to bring to them the hope of glory that Paul is speaking of here in the book of Colossians. I could not help but reflect on what happened in that senseless attack, that pointless, ridiculous, devil-instigated attack in London today, a man taking a car and mounting the pavement and running down those people and then stabbing that poor officer. I couldn't help but think, those people crossing that bridge, probably not one of them woke up this morning and thought, this could be my last day. And I wonder where their hope, where their faith, where was it this morning? Where was it when they were having lunch just an hour before tragedy struck? I think about the same thing in 9/11. As a matter of fact, I can remember, it was on a Tuesday, I can remember the message that I preached on Wednesday night on September 12th, 2001. I preached a message called The Coming Storm. The Coming Storm. And I often think, when they got up that morning, where was their faith? Was it in the hope of glory? And beloved, you've heard me preach, you know, for nearly 3 years now. Definitely Carol's heard me preach over 3 years now. And we need to understand that we've heard several messages about hope. And we need to understand that without hope altogether in this world, without hope, our life, without hope in our days, we are of all men in this world miserable. But Christ is our hope tonight. Christ is our hope if the Lord gives us tomorrow. Tomorrow, Christ was our hope this morning. And whatever happens to a person between the time they get out of the bed in the morning and go to bed at night, Christ is their hope in every step they take. Christ is our hope when we lie asleep. He is the lifeline that pulls us from the drowning sea of sin. We were leafleting today, passing tracts out in Easter leaflets down at Saren South, and that word hit me, that phrase. We are drowning in a sea of sin in the world that we're in, yet Christ Jesus, our Lord, He's the hope of glory. He is the staircase of which we are able to climb from the darkness of our life into the brightest of day. He is our carriage which takes us from the blackest despair to the clearest of skies. You know, we understand Welsh weather enough here, don't we, that you can wake up in the morning time, it can be clear as a bell, in an hour's time, by the time you eat your breakfast, it can be dark as night with the clouds, snow can come, lightning can come, well, sometimes lightning, rain can come, and then at the end of the day, we can have blue skies again. Prettiest sunset we've seen in quite a while on the way to church tonight. Beautiful, beautiful sunset. And I think of those things. Christ is our carriageway. He is our staircase that takes us out of the blackness of storms and presents us to the clearest of skies. He is our hope of glory. Beloved, Jesus is the jewel in the sand. He is the cure to the world's illness. He, and I say it again, He is our hope of glory. Without Christ, there is no hope. None, absolutely, positively, whatsoever. We are, if without Christ, without hope in this world. And this is what Paul is saying, verse 27. He says, whom we preach, warning every man. There is no other hope, for it is Christ Jesus who Paul was preaching. Our hope today is not found in the political arena. Our hope today is not found in the providence of our land. Our hope today is not found in the preacher's ability. Our hope of glory is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That old hymn says, my hope is found on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Amen. That's why I wanted to sing the Solid Rock tonight as well. That was the hymn that I wanted us to open up, because our hope is in Jesus Christ. In the West, in our culture that we live in today, and I believe it to be true just by those that I've sat with and talked with and got to know even in the valleys, but we spend money in seeking pleasure and praise of mankind probably more than any other culture in all the world. And all the planet, we just seek and we spend money for pure pleasure, for just pure the praise of mankind. People are up to their eyeballs today in debt. And they continue to spend. They spend on their self, they spend on sin, they spend on sensuality. And what are they doing for? They're just trying to fill the void that is inside of them. I was talking to a friend here some time back, and we were talking about some of the vehicles that, and how much vehicles cost and today. And he says, BJ, listen, he goes, all those cars, and he started, now I won't go over names, I don't want anybody zeroing down, but went over all these different names and brands of cars, these expensive vehicles. And he said, nobody owns those cars. Every one of those things. He goes, everybody's up to eyeballs in debt. Every one of those things are financed. I'm like, you're kidding me. He goes, no. This guy's paying £500-600 a month just to drive that car around. Why? An image. For pleasure. For what? For praise of mankind. Pleasure of sin, we know, according to the Scripture, it's only for a season. And this sinful season in sin will pass in one's life. It will fade away as does a flower. And then it must be off to the next sin, to the next sensuality, to the next item that they seek to fulfill in their life. This is what the psalmist said. The psalmist says, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. That's our world we look in today. That's our world that we live in today. That's the place where we live, where people are seeking to find joy, they're seeking to find pleasure, they're seeking to find some type of fulfillment in their life. And I'm here to tell you this tonight, guys. We need to provide that void for them to be filled. And it's through the hope of glory. In the West today, we'll see people spend for things that have absolutely no eternal weight nor glory. And they don't even understand that the hope of glory is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Isaiah said. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2 says, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which is not satisfied? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Guys, there is no hope in the life outside of Jesus Christ. He is our hope of glory, and that is who we are to preach, warning every man. It's not just my responsibility as the pastor or the preacher to preach Christ, warning every man. But it is every born-again believer in this world today to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to proclaim the hope of glory, because you may not have tomorrow. To proclaim this beautiful truth, this hope of glory. Guys, listen, I'm going to tell you, this world today, one of the things that they are looking for, they're looking for peace. I saw a picture today, the boys probably saw it as well, that it said those people who say, I hate religion, and yet they have the starter pack, I forgot what it was, but their lifestyle ironically, you know, contradicts the statement of them hating religion. And you know, they believe that the universe, if they can just, the universe and them are one, and they have their crystals and they have their meditation time and their yoga time and all this other time, yet they hate religion, yet they're practicing it. The people in the world today, your friends, your family, your loved ones, they are looking for some type of peace. They're looking for a hope in this life. Too often people are looking in the wrong places. So I'm here to tell you tonight, guys, that we, as a child of God, we are to preach, to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, warning every single man. Let me ask you a question here this evening, first and foremost. What do we warn them of? First, I believe that we can bring this truth this evening, that there is no hope that will ever be found in our environment. Look in verse 27, the first part with me again, in the same chapter. Then I'm going to have you turn over to a verse, but hold your place there. In verse 27, this is what Paul says. He says, to whom God would make known what his riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. He would make known the riches. Guys, we hear quite a bit of teaching and quite a bit of expense and arguments and debates and all this and that about the environment today, everything, climate change and global warming and da-da-da-da-da. Listen, I would take some global warming right about now, right here in the valleys, wouldn't you? I'd take a little bit of global warming. If it's true, give me just a little little bit, I'll be happy. Amen. But we hear this, and we hear people that are, they're trying to live and honor and worship this environment. And guys, I'm not against the environment. I'm not for destroying our land and our seas. I am not for that. I believe we ought to take care of what the Lord has given us. However, the environment is not going to save you. It's not going to fulfill that void inside of our heart and our life. Turn over, hold your place there in Colossians, and turn over with me to Romans chapter 1. And you probably know where we're going. Romans chapter 1. This is an earmark of a culture that has turned its life into worshiping the environment and seeking to find hope there, trying to fix something that has been resilient for 6,000 years now. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they knew Him, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Guys, herein lies the problem. The world today has made the environment, they've made creation, let's call it what it is, a god. And one that worships and moves through the scope of time, they begin to look and they begin to worship and praise that which God has created. We've made it out that the surroundings of our life is our hope, that our future in lies our hope, that thinking that we can clean up everything around us, and then that is our hope. And we say that if our environment gets better, that's our hope that our life gets better. And that's not true, friend. There is one person that you can go to right now. One person that you can go to right now, and you can prove the absolute fact that if your environment today was perfect, you're still going to be imperfect. And his name was Adam. Adam lived in a sinless environment, lived in a perfect place. Everything about the world was absolutely perfect. He wasn't even going to have to work. I mean, it was great. And in the midst of a perfect environment, what happened? Adam fell. Adam committed sin. Adam had no pubs, Adam had no alcohol, Adam had no TV, he had no Hollywood, no pornography, no crime, he had no massive cars. I mean, he had everything there that was perfect, nothing there to tempt him, if you will, or to control him, or to draw him alongside, except there was that tree. And he hearkened unto the wife of his voice of his wife, who was beguiled by Satan. And herein sin entered in. Without all of the things, a flawless surroundings, and he still fell, condemning all that would follow. So the answer today, for our loved ones, for our family members, for our co-workers, and for all of those we're in contact with, the answer today is not the environment. And secondly, just real quick, the answer today is not entertainment. It's not entertainment. And for back in verse 27 in the book of Colossians there, the latter part of verse 27, this is what Paul said. He speaks of the riches of the glory there, halfway through, of this mystery among the Gentiles. But here's what he says, which is Christ in you, watch this, the hope of glory. Paul said that it was a mystery that Christ would be in us, that he would be in us, the Gentiles. It was a mystery, it was covered, it was hidden, but then now it's revealed that the hope of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, what we need is inside of us today. It was a mystery that was not seen in time past. Not even the beloved John, not even Peter, who both saw the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus Christ transformed into his glorified body, who also saw the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, on top of that mountain, not even they saw the Gentile receive the hope of glory. This mystery was revealed, and the hope of this world, hope of your neighbors, the hope of our family members, hope for this world is found in the one who died for the sins of mankind. We have a world today that looks for entertainment for dress. They look at entertainment for speech. They look at entertainment for action. They look at entertainment for basically every form of their living. It is absolutely amazing to see how someone, all of a sudden, some guy, if you want to call him a guy, I mean, some boy that acts like a girl, gets a haircut, and then the next thing you know, it's the raging fad throughout society. Now, you know, I get that. If it looks good, okay, I understand all that stuff. But that's just the top of it. I mean, they look at it, they look at entertainment today for how to dress, how to talk, how to speak, and how to wear their hair. And unfortunately, the entertainment world is not teaching good things of how to do. And there is no hope in the entertainment. The hope of glory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ that is in us. If you're here and you're saved and you're born again in the blood of Christ, the hope of glory, the hope for this world is in you tonight. It is not in entertainment, my friend. Jesus Christ says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet and turn again and rend you." My friend, this is what happens when the entertainment world captivates our heart and our minds. And we win one of these young people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, the entertainment world, that allure pulls them over. That's why you throw that fishing lure out in the water, and you're reeling it in, and it's making all this kind of movement. You know what it's doing? It's luring that fish, thinking that's a meal, thinking it's alive, and then they bite that thing, and all of a sudden, they get a hook stuck through their mouth, and like, whoa, what's got a hold of me? That's what that word lure, and I just used the word a minute ago, allure. Our young people today are bombarded by the entertainment industry. They're bombarded, and that allure pulls them away from that hope that is in us. Hope is not in, the hope for this world is not going to be in the environment. The hope for this world is not in the entertainment. And here's one. The young people really like this one. The hope for this world, it's not in education. Look in verse 28 in our same chapter here, verse 44 part, first part of the verse. The Bible says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom." Paul says, "Whom we preach," he says, "we are warning and we're teaching." Guys, education is important. Everybody knows that I believe that. It plays a vital role in our life. It aids and assists us in understanding, as well as relaying the Word of God to others. We are better equipped to be able to speak the Word of God to a multitude of people with a higher education, at least an education of the Word of God. But our hope cannot be placed at the door of education. Education is a means to give glory to Christ, not to give glory unto man. The communists say today, education, education, education. But the cross says, repent, repent, repent. Education is needed, is a needed part of our life. Christian education, obviously, is the best. But which place is the hope of glory in the proper place? Is that education on the Word of God? Your hope cannot be put on your education. Your hope today and your neighbor's hope cannot be placed on a piece of paper that is on the wall. So the hope is not in education. It's not in the environment. It's not in the entertainment. Here's a fourth one real quick. We'll got one more after that. We'll be finished. But our hope tonight is not in the economy. I know people are going absolutely bonkers in the United States right now, as well as in the United Kingdom. We got the 29th approaching, and Theresa May says that she's dropping the hammer, man. She's enacting Article 50, and we're flying the coop. We're officially going to be away from the EU. I hope it happens, personally. But nevertheless, I'm not preaching politics from here. Everybody's worried, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to the economy? Guys, I don't want the economy to drop. We all got to live. We all got to eat. We all got to put petrol in the state. We all got to survive. I get that. But our hope tonight cannot be in the economy. Look at verse 29. Paul says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." He says, laboring, striving according to his working. Some of the wealthiest people on the face of the planet tonight are some of the most low-down, scoundrel people that you'll ever meet. They are. Just because they're wealthy doesn't mean they're a good person. Some of the poorest people that you'll ever meet on the street today are the most precious souls that you'll ever in your life encounter. So, again, money is not evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's not the money itself. We got to understand, hope is not in the economy. So there is no hope in the environment. There is no hope in entertainment. There is no hope in education. There is no hope in economy. All four of those things can be utilized to a certain degree in their proper manner, but you can't put your hope in them this evening. Your neighbors can't put their hope in them this evening. Your family members, your co-workers, your sons and daughters and whomever, they can't put their hope in those things. There is only one hope, and that which we need to place it in, and that hope is not those four. That hope is eternal tonight. Our text verses 27 and 28, we've already read a multitude of times, but just one more time's sake, to whom God would make known, which is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, saying this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Beloved, there is hope in the cross of Christ. There is answers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a hope of glory in the one who suffered and died on Calvary for us personally. And it's the Christian's hope tonight. It's the Christian's hope in this life and in the next that is the same. It is the Christian tonight. The Christian, in order to be the one who falls at the feet of Jesus Christ, the hope and glory of the days that He's given us here in this world, the pure life of serving the Lord to the uttermost, that's the hope that we're looking at this evening. That very one that is eternal. Those that place their hope in the environment, entertainment, education, the economy, those that take those four things and put them in their proper place and recognize the only hope of glory, and that is, which is eternal, the self-existing one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to the Galatians in 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not but I, but Christ liveth in me. He says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So that's the question that we have. Does Christ live in you tonight? You say, preacher, I'm saved, been saved for many years. Yes, but is He living through you this evening? Is those around you in your life that come to meet you, do they see that hope of glory in your life and in your words and in your actions? Can you say tonight that I'm living, but I'm living for my Redeemer. I'm living for Jesus Christ. Can you call yourself that Christian that we spoke about from Acts chapter 11 so often, many a times? Can we live a life that is to please the hope of glory, which is Jesus Christ? Beloved, a Christian has a love for the brethren. Can I tell you that? A Christian has a desire to be close and be near with the brethren. John wrote, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." It just amazes me how often, so many times, that You see Christians bickering back and forth, and this one saying this one, and this one stabbing that one in the back, and I just question myself. If you're not loving the brethren, how do you know the love of God? You say, "Oh, well, preacher, we're still flesh. He that loveth not knoweth not God," is what John said. For God is love. So why should this message be preached on a midweek service? Why should this be preached? Because we need a little bit of a spark. I know a lot of our Wednesday nights are didactic. I know they're teaching, and I know we get caught up in the ritual. But this should be preached tonight. We should remember that our days are yet numbered, and we're only here for a short period of time. And the people that we come in contact with on a daily basis, we need to take the opportunity to let Jesus Christ shine through us, the hope of glory be seen and known in those that are around us. Because, guys, tomorrow, tonight could be the last opportunity that they have to see Jesus Christ in you. This is the reason and why. Then we're done. Verse 18 of the same chapter tonight, Colossians 1. The Bible says, "And He is the head of the body, the church," that's what we are, "who is the beginning," speaking of Jesus Christ, "the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." The preeminence. Christ deserves the preeminence. Before all things, by all things, for all things, everything in our life, Jesus Christ must have the preeminence. I had one of my coaches in college, I'll tell you this story. I'll be finished. He used to always tell us, because, you know, get tired of these people. The excessive celebration rules were starting to come into play, and they were starting to penalize teams for excessive celebration. You know, you score a touchdown, and, you know, you act like you just, you know, stopped a nuclear war between two countries, and they're dancing and jiving and all this. I can't stand it. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, my thought is this: is if you're a receiver in the NFL and you make a nice catch and you run and you go, you're getting paid to do that. That's you should be doing that stuff. So celebrating and the dancing, my coach always said, act like you do it all the time. Act like you do it all the time. And I tell you what, man, you know, you stop and you think about that and just act like you do it all the time. We used to have an old boy on our team, good running back. He'd run the ball, run people over, shuck, drive, move here, cross that try line, as you say in rugby, but cross that into that end zone, score that touchdown. He'd just pitch the ball to the ref and just run it on back in. Act like you do it all the time. See, Christianity has to be something, guys, that we let Jesus Christ get the preeminence. Not us. You know, not us. Let the Lord get the preeminence. Act like He does it all the time. Give it to Him. Let Him stay out in the forefront. But He needs to be the hope of glory that this world sees. Because, guys, I'm going to tell you, outside of Jesus, there is no hope whatsoever. And He is the one that will take us and take others from the blackest of day into the beautiful bluest skies. He will take us from drowning in the sea of sin to living a life of glory. And even on bad days, even on days when He just lets us feel that pressure, He's still there. He's eternal. And He is forever the hope of glory, but not just for us. He's the hope of glory that we need to be warning, preaching, and teaching to all men. You bow your heads tonight. Father in heaven, we come to You again. We thank You, dear Lord, for all that You've done. We thank You for the message this evening. We pray that You would work Your mighty work tonight. That You would take Your precious word and write it upon the table of our hearts. Lord, let us not soon forget what we've heard this evening. And I just pray that You would bear witness, Lord, upon our souls. Father, we would be a people known of Jesus Christ, that we would put away petty things. We put away childish things. Paul said that when I was a child, I spake as a child. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. God, help us today to be, Lord, just help us live up to that title, Christian. So many things that we can list, Father, that a Christian needs to do. Lord, I tell You, if the world is not seeing You in us, how can we be called a Christian? So, Lord, help us tonight. Help us see that hope. Help us see that hope of glory, and help the world see it as well in us. And we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord.